Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a vague idea.
It's a comedy trivia
podcast. I'm Nate Bergoli, and each week we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea.
I think it's a list of topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a list of topics around a theme. The topics are individuated. I've thought about this a lot. The theme...
Well, you've had 183 episodes to think about this.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, far too many. This is...
The correct answer is the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Oh, with an A? With the thing?
Is the best, yes.
It's the Southwestern spices that clues you into them moving them from Springfield to Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Muck dogs, lug nuts, shuckers. That's a good one. Fort Wayne tin caps with an angry apple wearing a pot for a hat.
I mean, you got to get a pot goats somewhere.
The Hartford Yard Goats. Those are the Rockies double A.
Yep. Montgomery biscuits. That wins.
That's good. Biscuits. Yeah, Montgomery biscuits. It's like Montgomery Ward, everyone's favorite defunct department store, but with biscuits now.
Montgomery Ward.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Gang signs for Montgomery Ward from Greg. So this week, listeners, we're going to be talking about baseball. And we're going to talk about baseball with two fabulous returning guests.
We are the handsomest baseballs that you've ever had baseball on this audio medium.
You should see their white leathery skin and the stitches that run up and around.
What do snitches get?
Perfectly spherical domes. They get stitches, baby.
On their perfectly spherical domes.
Perfectly spherical domes. There's a core of cork, I think, with rubber bands maybe in there. I'm not sure about the composition of a baseball anymore.
There's no way of knowing.
Yeah. You'd have to.
How do you finish the last stitch on a baseball? And where does it go? How does it? There's nowhere to turn it inside out.
It never finishes.
About machines. Yeah.
It's endless.
There's a forever stitch there. It's simply a living stitch.
That's a Mobius ball of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why in common parlance, if you hit the ball hard, like somebody will say, like, oh, the ball's really screaming coming out of the stadium because it's actually alive. You know,
oh,
if you tear the cover off of it, you have killed a strange extraterrestrial.
I believe you moited it. Really moited it.
Literally. So
I'm gonna go ahead and put in my answer right now for palm to palm to tear. It's a palm.
Okay. We won't be playing it, but
damn it,
you're absolutely correct. It would have been an apple.
83 episodes off.
We haven't played palm to palm to tear since pre-pandemic, baby. But we're going to play something similar.
Doesn't mean you don't know how to play it. It was just in case.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, what I appreciate is the enthusiasm. So our guests, we have Rex Roberts. He's been speaking. Hi. Rex, welcome back.
Hi. Hi.
You might know him, Miskey, from early in
World. Oh, Miskey? As well. Oh. I was worried you would bring up Miskey. I didn't know where to find him. He's right here.
He's right back there. He's like
been within us whole time.
He's like the kid in Danny Torrance in The Shining.
He's right next to your heart, your chest palm.
Yeah. Your palm.
Good Lord.
Palm de cœur.
Palm de cœur.
I am having PTSD.
Our other guest is Greg Corbin. Greg, welcome back to the show. You might remember him as Flint.
Hi,
from
Greg.
For Blank, as well as both of these gentlemen from the sports episode that we recorded, I don't know, 100 episodes ago, something like that. It's been quite some time.
Yeah, I think we spent most of the time talking about Bo Jackson and George Brett, at least on my end.
We spent a lot of time.
Don't you dare bring up Pine Tar.
The Pine Tar. Yeah, we didn't. We covered that already. That's been on the show.
How much Pine Tar conversation?
There was a Pine Tar incident in the minors like last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the video about that. I thought it was very, very interesting. And it's like, we just can't get this thing sorted out.
Well, it sticks around.
Oh.
Zing. Oh boy, all right.
Good night, everyone.
And we're done.
Greg, that's a point. You're going to get a point.
No.
Get a point for that one. All right, let's get started. I have an opening question for both of you. And that opening question is, in the theoretical dream/nightmare scenario where you would have to play baseball forever, what position would you want to play forever? You do get to bat.
This is an impossible question because there's a right answer, but it is immediately also a wrong answer. And that answer is the designated hitter.
Well, you got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Because that is the correct answer. If you have to play forever, then you might as well be the DH. But the existence of a DH is such a travesty to the game that it is truly the best and worst outcomes of that nightmare dream scenario.
And we're living in all DH times right now, which is crazy.
The darkest of baseball timelines.
Rex, I might have to bench you on that one because that's the wrong answer. The correct answer, everyone knows, is a left-handed knuckleball specialist who comes in for four pitches every 14th game. It's a perfect position.
As far as I know, there's never been a left-handed knuckleball specialist.
Exactly.
There's been like six knuckleballers, and they're all righties.
This is my point. Think if you were that guy, come in for six pitches, strike out one guy, get a foul tip into an out. That's it. And then you don't come back for 2 weeks.
But in the scenario, you are playing this game forever. So you're just playing those four pitches forever?
No. Are you batting forever? The DH doesn't get any better then.
No, it's like I'm imagining this as a tie ball game. There's just infinite extras.
Yeah, you're just going to be playing this same, whatever position you choose. You're always going to play this position. And you're going to get to bat otherwise. So yeah, if you're that knuckleballer, you're probably going to get to bat under some strange circumstances.
Right, but then you're going to be an embarrassing batter because you're a left-handed knuckleball middle relief specialist.
Unless you can knuckle bat.
You have no expectation. If you even swing the bat, they're like, wow.
Bat on the shoulder. Watch them all go by.
Which way the ball is coming from.
1, 2, 3, I'm out of here.
And I guess if you do it forever, you're bound to hit one out eventually, right? That's like a monkeys at a million typewriters kind of scenario where it's just like, boom, Tale of Two Cities happened.
There's only, the only proof of that is, what the hell is the pitcher's name? The fat 45-year-old reliever that hit a homer for the Mets like 5 years ago.
Colon.
Yes, that's the Roberto Colon theorem.
It is.
That given a long enough career, everybody will hit one out.
Yeah. I mean, we can't all be Jason Jennings and just jump on him right away as a pitcher.
And given a long enough career, you're bound to play in the Brave Stadium and the new Brave Stadium.
And the next Brave Stadium. New Brave Stadium.
Well, you can't let them get comfortable in any particular location.
No, it's in Atlanta. It's going to get sweaty.
Yeah, it just gets wet. Well, yeah, great job. 2 points each. You're both absolutely correct.
Yes.
Yeah. You did great.
So egalitarian. I don't think so.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And that's the beauty of the show.
That's what I'm really banking on is the isn't.
We're looking for some isn't. Round number one, Rex, do you have a vague idea about Henry Hank Aaron?
I got a vague idea about Hammer and Hank Aaron, the one time Milwaukee Brave, but mostly known as the Atlanta Brave, who hit all of the home runs, hit more home runs than anybody in the history of home runs, broke through a bunch of racial barriers, just a really great all around guy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Great.
Hey, if I may, I believe Roberto Colon did pitch to him.
It's 50-50.
It's entirely possible.
If you had to wager, what was Hank Aaron still in the majors when Colon was born?
How about this? Are we closer to Hank Aaron? Are we closer to Colon's first pitch in the majors, or is Colon closer to Hank Aaron's last pitch that he batted against? I think Colon's closer to Hank Aaron than he is us.
Definitely.
So Colon is born May 24th of 1973. Aaron's last game is during the 1976 season.
Close. He was three.
Yeah.
Which
is pretty crazy.
Which, if he last batted in 1976, and you have to assume Colon was pitching in the majors by 23, that's 20 years from his last pitch to his first pitch. And it's been at least 20 years since.
It's been at least 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
He played for 25 or 30.
He's still playing, probably. He's probably got a contract in Korea.
Greg, anything to add about Hank Aaron?
I thought I did add.
You did, but do you want to add anything else?
People sing songs about him. He was called Hammering Hank Aaron because he was
little known.
Really good at carpentry.
He was a carpenter.
Yeah.
He wasn't known for his carpentry skills. He was a member of the Carpenters.
Oh.
Beautiful voice. Like an angel.
because whenever he would hit a baseball, it would split into birds. And then Karen Carpenter said, why do birds suddenly appear every time?
Oh, God, no, that's that's too. This is this was the goal. This was the goal that Greg and I set out today is this episode is at some point during every question, we would get to a point where we go, how did we get here?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's turn back before it's too late.
This is too far.
We've
Karen Carpenter talking about the birds is six steps from Kevin Bacon away from Hammer and Hank Aaron.
I mean, they probably went to a game. He was in Atlanta. They might have been in Atlanta. I don't know.
He was probably from the South. He's probably from Alabama. It's probably him and Bo Jackson. And
he was from Mobile, Alabama.
Was he really?
Very good. Yep.
Count
yep.
it.
Oh, you get a point for that. 5th, desperation point.
Yeah. I think I threw that up from half court and made it.
he died January of 2021 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So great job. 2 points each.
Nice.
You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
We even knew things that we didn't know.
Hell yeah. Yeah. We're learning things. Sometimes when you know things you didn't know, you just learned.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what the word means?
And when you make up things that you learned, those are things that you didn't know too. It's great. We're living in a golden age. Round number two, Greg, do you have a vague idea about Ted Williams?
Teddy Baseball.
Nate, we're going to have to ratchet up the difficulty here.
Oh, yeah, we will. Don't worry. I'm open and soft.
I like this. Teddy Baseball was named such because he's the best baseball player of all time.
Notoriously made of baseballs.
He's notoriously made of baseballs, 100%. There is a seat in the Fenway Park where it's the furthest hit ball in Fenway by Teddy Baseball, and it's the one red seat in the outfield. Rex, when he came to visit once, I believe you sat in that seat, didn't you?
I did. It's in right field. It's way the hell
sat
up there.
In right field, yeah. Pretty cool. Teddy Baseball was named by his dad, George Baseball.
Sure.
And then, you know, they made him change it to Williams because you can't have a baseball player named Mr. Baseball. We learned that from the movie Mr. Baseball. That's what I think the whole movie was about, name changes.
Is that Tom Selleck? Really...
I think it is Tom Selleck.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a whole mustache issue, too.
There are no mustaches in baseball.
Steinbrenner wanted to shave the mustache. He kept trying to. Steinbrenner was never happy with it.
But they won't show Steinbrenner unless it's just like the silhouette behind the desk.
Just the back of him. And he's always talking about calzones.
And he's played by, what's his name from Curb?
Yeah. Larry David.
Larry David.
Yeah, thank you. I think he's the only baseball player to have a season over. Did he have a 400 season?
He has a 400 season.
He sure did. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
I guess if you
and he famously batted on the last day of the year. As if I'm going to have a 400 season, I'm going to play through the whole season, which they keep dredging that back up whenever anybody's on the verge of the batting title and is not in a competitive team.
I believe that's called gregging it up.
Gregging it up.
Close with dregging.
It's a soft G.
he's great. He's the original. He's like the Superman of baseball.
He famously could tell you which part of the baseball was facing him as he struck it. I don't know how they could prove that in the 30s. That doesn't make any sense, but he
or disprove it.
In the 30s, people were like, that horse can do math, because they would have it
well, because they saw him speaking on the talkies every week.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, if you put peanut butter on the bat, it's a lot easier to see where the ball is when you hit it.
But not as long as you don't go too far up the barrel.
Well, true. Yeah. 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 You don't want to get...
Well, if you measure the peanut butter against the home plate, then you know.
But we're not going to talk at all about how his head is frozen somewhere in Arizona, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. But yes.
Great thing to talk about.
He does have frozen body somewhere.
It's easy to freeze a baseball. I mean, his head was a baseball. His body was a bunch of baseball. Mr. Met is the living
biological great grandson.
Biological great grandson of Ted
Baseball. This is why we've outlawed inbreeding. You can't have too many. You can't have Mr. and Mrs. Baseball because you end up with the Metropolitans.
Get some softballs in there, maybe a soccer ball. You got to mix it up.
But if you do too many footballs, you end up with the Hey Arnold scenario.
Any guesses for career batting average?
I'm going above 300. I'm going with 330.
Okay, Rex.
That's really high.
333.
It was 344. Yeah, so Rex gets the point.
I wanted that number alliteration.
Did he fight in World War II?
He sure did. What other war did he fight in, Greg?
Korea.
World War III.
World War III is correct.
Spanish-American War?
The shadow war of World War III. Because technically, we're on the edge of World War IV right now.
Wait, we skipped one?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know.
Happened. Ted Williams fought in it.
He won it.
He did.
And we have the head to prove it.
He was in Korea. Oddly, never a character in the series of MASH, despite it being on for like 15 years.
That's why it was never successful. Alan Alda's career went downhill.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Never going to be a doctor this way.
Where's Ted Williams?
Where did
just shows up at the end of an episode with a bat in full uniform to do a PSA?
Where did Ted Williams manage during his post playing career?
I would say he managed pretty much everywhere he was. He could just manage. He could just.
I'm going to say
he just got by.
I'm going to say the Wilmington Blue Rocks. This is the whole question was just a thin excuse for him to bring it back home to make us believe that this is a valid decision for Nate to move away.
So I gotta go where Teddy Baseball managed.
Japan.
The entire nation of Japan. He just managed.
After winning World War II, he went there to manage
the Hiroshima Carp.
The Carp. It was the Washington Senators / Texas Rangers.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty exciting. All right. I'm going to give you each 2 points. How's that sound? Yeah. Each get 2 points. That's fun. All right. We're going to play our first game. It's time to play I See What You Did There.
What you did there?
You're going to see what I did there because I'm going to give you some clues. And you're going to tell me what mashed up nonsense answer I'm looking for based on those clues.
How many answers are there?
There's four questions.
There's four questions. How many syllables? Is there charades?
There's so many syllables, Rex. So many syllables.
What does it sound like?
50 syllables. Other times, 6. I don't know.
You can't count to 50 syllables. If you can't count them on your forearm, then they're...
It's true.
You're done.
If you count to 50 on your forearm, you're going to break your arm. You're going to leave a real bruise.
How do you count to anything above 1 on your forearm?
Well, at least 2. One.
Well, you just got to remember every time. You got to remember all the times it hurt.
If I touch it too many times, then Rex will steal 3rd.
No, but you have to hit the indicator, which is the other arm. But I never remember which one's which.
I just have buttons on my sleeve now to do that.
Yeah, you got to do you got to ace of base it, right? You got to make sure that they saw the sign.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the Macarena.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. Great job. You both won the game.
Okay, we know
the game. We'll move on. Question number one. Rex, famous base runner Ricky Henderson, starts a new job in a rural Louisiana salon with Dolly Parton and Shirley MacLaine in this nickname movie mashup.
Steel Magnolias.
But
stealing
what's his second base's Magnolias.
What's his nickname?
Yeah, what's his nickname? Ricky Henderson's nickname.
It's going to be Steel Something Magnolias. Stealing. I don't know. I didn't know he had a nickname. You know his nickname, Greg?
I don't. I feel so awful because I loved Ricky Henderson.
Steel Magnolias, which I feel pretty good about.
That's more impressive. You should feel really good about Steel Magnolias. I'm going for Man of Steel Magnolias because he was the Man of Steel. STEAL.
No, that's Cal Ripken.
No, that was a different.
No, he was the Iron Man.
He was the Iron Man. Yeah. A less refined kind of steel. Steel requires both iron and cobalt or something. I don't know. Put those things together.
Or a really good jump off of first.
Yeah. just a good lead.
Just a lead. Good lead.
A good lead.
A good lead. That might be an ingredient. I don't know.
It probably is.
It probably is.
Don't put it in your mouth, kids. You'll have defects. All right. You're getting a point, Rex, for Steel Magnolias, because that was enough of a grab right there.
I can't believe you got that.
Greg, number two, this so-called creator of baseball gets merged with a classic 6-4-3.
Oh, I got it.
Abner double play.
You are correct. Oh, Abner double play. Very good. Very good, Greg. Very good.
Yes.
I see what you did there. This is
turns out Abner Doubleday did not apparently invent baseball, at least according to the internet. Now it's like he was part of a group of people who did a thing, but he was just
most importantly is, in the truest sense of baseball, he gave us something to argue about.
Rex
and I were talking about this earlier today, and also everyone knows that it was Richard Baseball, Teddy Baseball's great-great-grandfather invented the game.
Saying that Ted Williams' great-great-grandfather's name was Dick Ball?
It was Dick Ball. Also, I'm pretty sure his name is Teddy Baseball. I think it's Teddy Ball Game.
It is Teddy Ball Game, but yeah. You know. Teddy Baseball sounds good, but it was Teddy Ball
It does game. Sound good.
All right, Rex, number three.
Trois.
Imagine this 90s White Sox slugger,
Frank Thomas,
merged with a Jeremy Renner bomb diffuser film.
Big Hurt Locker?
You are correct. Yes. Yeah.
Nate, oh my gosh, you don't even know.
You don't even know.
You don't even know, Nate. Guess what Rex owns and is in Steno now?
What?
In the basement.
God. A Big Hurt pinball machine.
Oh, no way.
Frank Thomas's Big Hurt Baseball, the pinball machine.
Aww.
It's downstairs. It's amazing.
I love Frank Thomas Big Hurt Baseball.
None of it's licensed, so it just says Reebok and like neutral baseball logos.
He's just wearing a black hat with absolutely no text.
He's wearing a black hat with white Reebok that sort of looks like a White Sox logo.
He does have a trademark on Big Hurt, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, he owns that for sure.
The other thing about it, and I love this, Rex told me this, the pinball machine is how many inches taller than?
It's an inch and a half taller than the standard leg height of a pinball machine. So in the arcade, it would physically be taller.
Just so it could be a bigger hurt.
Just so it could be a bigger hurt.
Aw. See, those design touches are really important.
Yeah, pretty cute.
I love it.
All right. Greg, number four, a curse-leaving John Goodman-esque ball player gets nominated to the Supreme Court by Bill Clinton in 1993.
Wait, say that again?
A curse-leaving John Goodman-esque ball player gets nominated to the Supreme Court by Bill Clinton in 1993.
Gotcha. So it's either Babe Ruth,
he's Bader got it,
Ginsburg, yep, or Babe Ruth Kennedy.
It's Babe Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah. It's Babe Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Very good.
That's a good one.
You guys see what I did there?
This is a great game, Nate.
This is a great game. Also, I thought you said a curse leaving, like someone who curses, not someone who left a curse. So I was like, who's a baseball player that John Goodman played that curses a lot?
That was to mislead you toward Tommy Lee Jones's Ty Cobb.
Ty corn on the cob.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't Cobb say that, Greg. Salad. That's the next answer.
I mean, unfortunately, we're all out of I See What You Did There, but you both did great.
The greatest Royals baseball player of all time released a 80s hairband album.
George Brett Michael.
Yes.
He also got hit with a curtain that was coming down on the stage and knocked him square on the floor. So we're going to go to round number three.
Do we build in a seventh inning stretch? Is there a time for like a beer and a song?
Yeah, we can do that. So yeah, round number three, Greg.
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about the St. Louis Browns?
I don't, but I believe they were the arch nemesis of the Cincinnati Reds.
That's a fair.
All right.
I don't. That's all I got. I just wanted to say arch. St. Louis arch nemesis of the
Ooh,
Cincinnati
yeah, yeah. I
Reds.
Get what I see what you did there.
Thank you.
I like that. All right.
The St. Louis Browns?
The St. Louis Browns.
I've never heard of St. Louis Browns, but I'm gonna wager that it was one of the teams in the league of their own, the women's league that came through during the war times.
Browns like the war scorched earth.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really what's going to rally people to buy bonds at the time, but maybe.
The St. Louis Browns were in fact an American League team from 1902 until 1953. They then relocated.
50 years?
Yeah. They relocated in 1953 to Baltimore, Maryland, becoming the Orioles.
No way.
And they left because there was too much competition with the Cardinals. Everybody liked the Cardinals better, even though there were two teams in St. Louis. Their mascot is Louis the Elf, or Louis the Elf, so, who I assume looks like the Cleveland Browns elf guy, right? Because don't they have sort of like a Notre Dame-esque boxing elf also?
Do they?
I think he's got curly hair, green hat. His dad is a publisher in New York. And he went
James
Caan.
Yeah,
James Caan.
Yeah. I love when the narwhal pops out of the outfield every time there's a home run.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, baseball. Hope you find your dad.
In Baltimore.
It's Baltimore.
So, yeah, there you go. That's the thing. Legendary players as of August 15th of last year, there were only four living former St. Louis Browns players. They were George Elder, Billy Hunter, Ed Mickelson, and Frank Saucier.
I would have thought George Younger would have outlived George Elder, but it sounds like he didn't.
But sometimes the Elder puts the boom down.
Boom down.
All right. I'm going to give you each 1 point because, hey, you know what? We're all having fun here.
Hey,
oh, these are fun points? Fun.
Yeah, we're having fun. All right. Round number four, Rex. Do you have a vague idea about the Washington Senators?
You mean the Texas Rangers?
Do I?
Is that
a thing that we gave away a little earlier?
Maybe a little bit. I don't think I would have made that through line, so I don't want the point for that.
What do you have anything to say or make up about the Washington Senators?
No, I mean we can talk some ish about Washington being the Senators and the Generals and the Congressmen and then the Senators again and then the Nationals again. Get some more team names,
right? Come up with new stuff. They were called Commodores. The Nats when they were the Senators. Did you know that?
I didn't.
That was one of their nicknames, was the Nats.
And they were in the American League, which, what the hell?
Yeah, we just got to, you know, hey, this is why government doesn't work. Am I right?
Mm. This is why we don't need more government in baseball. Can we talk about antitrust in this episode?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Antitrust of baseball really, really grinds my gears. Can we do another episode on malfeasance?
Sure. Let's do it. You want to just start over from here and we'll start talking about malfeasance?
Sure.
Hi, this is Nate Regolia. Welcome to A Vague Idea, a podcast within a podcast about malfeasance.
I'm honestly really into this idea of just like having a show and then someone just starts pretending to be that person and then resets the show.
If we need to talk about basketball inside the baseball podcast, I'm here for it.
Hell yeah. You know who's from Wilmington, Delaware, Rex?
Busy Bones.
Yeah.
Did you see him? The game in Philly.
Oh yeah,
he brought like his whole family and an entire fire department to the game.
Yeah, because his house here burned down and he had to leap out the window or something.
Yeah, and he like destroyed his knee and like tragically like two of his family members died and it was this huge terrible thing. And then everybody said he would never play basketball again. And lo and behold, he's still like 19 years old, full of gee golly basketball energy and just destroying the league and hearts.
Yeah, scoring like 20 points and shooting is 70% from three or something.
It's amazing. I got a Busy Bones jersey. It arrived yesterday. I'm going to wear it on Saturday for game one.
I love it. Other people from Wilmington, Delaware include Aubrey Plaza.
Huh.
Yeah, that'll make you think.
Do they give you like a press release when you move in?
Yeah,
like mayor gives you like a tiny key to the city and like these are notable facts to learn.
It's like how in every TV show and movie, when you get off the plane in Hawaii, they give you a lay. In Wilmington, they're just like, here's everything you need to know. There's a binder. There's a key.
Here are the six people from here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust me, they're real.
Totally. You know, at least four of them.
Totally real.
Greg, Washington Senators, do you have anything to say? You know anything about those?
The only thing I'll say is that I believe Rex was acting under the unwritten rule that you can't take credit for a point that was the answer was given to you earlier in the episode, which I want to transition to talk about unwritten rules.
Great.
It's definitely an unwritten rule.
That was a
baseball.
Brilliant segue.
And how unwritten rules in baseball, the main purpose of them aren't to abide by them, but to break them. So that way baseball writers and prognosticators and all the talking heads have something to talk about besides just numbers. Like, who cares about his likely on base percentage when there's a guy on third on a Tuesday? Like, you can talk about that a little bit.
But if you drag bunt with a 10 run lead in the in the eighth, then you might increase your OBP, and that's gonna,
you know, that Eric Hosmer and the San Diego Padres will not,
or at least Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill are paying attention to that, and you might get to play on the A's 12 years ago.
They are.
I did like Gabe Kapler's answer, though. Did you guys see what he said?
Where we like, did. We actually did see it in my office today, and the only takeaway was that guy's got a really, really great jawline.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's look. When do you remember when Gabe Kapler played for the Rockies?
No,
he played for the Rockies for like three seasons.
Really?
He was just kind of like a backup utility outfielder kind of guy.
Okay.
And I always liked him because he was always very, like, he was super clean cut, but he still had that jaw. And now he's just got that perfect beard over that perfect jaw.
Perfect beard with a piercing blue eyes, just lasering into stupid questions.
Like, hey, look, we're not just here to win one game. We're here to try to take down a series. So if I'm going to wear out the entire bullpen by having my guys run the game up, I want to see the infielders pitch in game three of the series.
Which that scenario was the drag bunt in the sixth inning. A third of the game is left.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's funny. It's also like, why not? I don't know. I mean, it's a very shrewd managerial tactic to be like, hey, look, the Giants probably aren't the most talented team in the NL West or in the National League, but
also fuck the Padres.
Yeah. We're going to play gritty. We're going to play gritty against these other teams that buy a bunch of guys. We're going to play gritty. That's fine.
If they could sign and play gritty, the Philly, the mascot,
the Flyers
mascot.
Yeah.
That would sell a lot of tickets.
It would be, I mean, he'd look good in the black Philly. And orange too.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same. Bring in gritty.
Greg's making a hand gesture on camera about how you bring in gritty, and it's over the line. He's breaking an unwritten rule of baseball.
What's the next question? Shoot me. So I'm ready.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each a point for Washington Senators. I'm going to tell you that there were two iterations of the Washington Senators. One of those existed from 1901 until 1960. That team featured at one point Harmon Killebrew, who you might both know of, mostly because he played for the Twins when the Senators became the Minnesota Twins. Then, in 1961, someone was like, no, we got to make a new Senators team. And they did. And then those Senators became the Texas Rangers.
Pretty I feel like it would have only been fair if the second iteration was, it was the Senators and they left town and then they came back and they were the representatives.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to step down at least one house.
And then they left town again. And then they're going to bring in the Expos and they're going to be the parliamentarians. Cause I'm guessing that's what they have in Canada.
Yeah. They're just like, Hey, I'm angry. I'm throwing shoes at my fellow lawmakers. So I will tell you right now, you're tied at 11 points each. And we're going to play our second.
We both have at least 22 points.
I mean, half you combined have at least 22 points. Yes, absolutely.
I would say we're batting 400, Rex.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Yeah. The question is, will you
344. 344 career points average.
Speaking of the sticking it out thing. Have you seen there's like a meme going around now about how they pulled Clayton Kershaw when he was going to get the
80 pitches?
Game? Yeah, at 80 pitches. And the meme I saw today was they posted a guy who pitched for Cleveland in like 1925.
He got hit by lightning.
Got struck by lightning.
Came back in
to finish. They revived him. He finished the game and then he had a perfect game after that. All right. We're going to play our second game.
Cool.
It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And for Fuck, Marry, Kill, you have to decide between three divisive baseball greats.
Great. Dibs on Pete Rose.
All right. Well,
which dib?
Yeah.
No, how about we just...
There are three separate
we're going to guess who the three divisive baseball personalities are.
All right. I'm going to let you guess these first.
It's going to be,
it's going to be
Pete Rose. It's going to be Daryl Strawberry. And it's going to be Mark McGwire.
Goose Gossage.
All right, Rex, you got one of them. It is, Pete Rose is one of them. Greg, do you want to guess the other two and see if you get either
Barry Bonds.
Greg, do you want to guess Barry Bonds?
I guess now I do.
Is that your
guess?
Yeah,
but who's the third?
Barry Bonds and Robin Ventura. I don't know. Man.
Tom Hanks's character in A League of Their Own. Jimmy something.
Yeah, Jimmy LaValle or something like that. He's a drinker.
The guy that Brendan Fraser played.
Kevin Costner in Bull Durham.
Encino Man in The Mummy.
Encino Man in The Mummy.
The third option is Derek Jeter.
Who people liked
and everybody gives a lot of admiration to, but I've seen a lot of stuff where it's like Derek Jeter was a terrible fielder.
Okay, I'll go first. The first thing I'll say is I guess it depends on what state we get married in. Like, do I get half of his stuff? Because if so, I'm marrying Jeter because that guy's definitely the richest of the three.
Yeah.
And then I could be the new Marlin man. So it's win-win-win all there.
Marlin man.
I could kill Pete Rose or – well, I guess I would fuck Pete Rose because him sliding into third base is the image they would use on Arrested Development to explain that someone was having sex. So I think I think his sex life was likely similar to him sliding into third base with his helmet flying off and his hair flying behind him.
How are you going to turn down a guy who goes in face first, though, too, right?
That's right.
I see what you did there.
I guess I'd kill the Giant.
Kill Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I guess because I think he just got inflated too much and he was bound to blow up like the State Puff Marshmallow Man eventually.
Okay.
So I guess I'd hit him with my Ghostbuster blaster.
Proton pack?
Your proton pack.
My proton pack.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'd go. I'd make a bunch of money and then get my hair blown back and then blow up the State Puff Marshmallow Man.
Nice. All right. Great. Rex, what are you going
to
do?
So the most correct answer is you have to fuck Jeter just to get the prize pack. That's a given answer. The other two are hard. I mean, the prize pack was legendary. There's hundreds of blogs about the women that got this and what came in it. And was great.
Wait, is an eighth of the Marlins not part of the prize pack? Or if it's maybe part of the prize pack, I guess I changed my answer. But
depends on your performance, I suppose.
Okay, so it's not part of the prize pack.
Maybe you get to play for the Marlins. That might be worth it.
For them, not for me.
I think you're going to marry Barry Bonds. It's tough. It could go either way. I have an obscene amount of respect for both of those non-Hall of Famers.
Right. They should both be Hall of Famers.
They should,
inarguably.
Inarguably. Please argue with me. Somebody.
Yeah. I mean, Greg.
There's no argument. Which argument is stronger? The betting on baseball or the steroids in the steroid era?
Steroids in the steroid era is more likely to say...
Which is a more egregious baseball issue?
Steroids in the steroid era, because betting on baseball, he bet for himself and kept winning.
Yeah, we've got aligned incentives here. I don't see the problem.
He wasn't tanking games. He wasn't a Black Sox scandal. He was just like, I can win. I'm going to, and I'm going to make money while I'm doing it.
These are literally the two best hitters of all time.
Yeah.
And neither of them are in the Hall, which is dumb.
Well, the other problem with Pete Rose is that had he played 20 years later, he would have made way more money and it wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have had to bet.
He wouldn't have to be a terrible broadcaster now.
Right. Because he would make $300 million in 10 years versus the $2 million he probably made over his career.
His entire career. No, I'm going to marry Barry Bonds. Also, he's an accomplished cyclist in and around San Francisco, and you can follow his rides on Strava, and there's like a regular club of people that will see his rides pop up and then try to chase Barry Bonds around Golden Gate Park.
That's really wonderful. I want to do that sometime.
And I hear he's a attentive husband, so that's a win-win. That's a good answer, Rex. Right?
I guess we're gonna murder Pete Rose. He had it coming. I don't know what for, but I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Your Derek Jeter dating diamond features. Ooh,
who can we name on the dating diamond?
Yeah. Name who you think is on the dating diamond.
J-Lo, Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey is in left field.
In left field.
Yep. All right. Yeah, that's one.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know people from the early 2000s.
My late 90s, early 2000s New York celebrities.
You got in center field, Jessica Alba. In right field, Jessica Biel. Third base, Vanessa Minnillo. Shortstop, Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo.
Second base, Adriana Lima.
Is this like what base he got to with each of them?
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and not answer that question.
All right. Do you have any idea as to what base Derek Jeter got to with Melissa?
Derek Malone? Jeter, if you're listening to the show, tweet at me, at Nate Regolia, at least until Elon Musk takes it away.
This is like in 3 days.
Right. So, first base, Jordana Brewster of the Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
You have at catcher, Minka Kelly from Friday Night Lights. Pitching, Hannah Davis, who I do not know who that is.
Betty Davis?
Probably, yeah.
Was Betty Davis from A League of Their Own?
Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Gina
yeah.
Davis.
Betty Davis was in a league of her own, but several decades prior. And in the DH slot, Tyra Banks, who is smizing all the way through every at bat. Smizing.
This is a great segue.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing great. 2 points each for Fuck, Marry, Kill. You did great. That's exactly how I would have done it. Now, for the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing.
Oui.
And the only thing that's French about it
Drew
is
Butera.
The name.
No, he's Italian.
He plays for the Italian baseball team, I think. In the World Baseball League.
Who's the French coach? Jacques. French coach is... he was the Giants manager.
Oh.
Bobby? Yeah. What's your question?
Bochy?
Yes, Bruce Bochy is the French national team manager.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit. Is he French? He might be French.
He's just about as much French as baseball is.
So, yeah. It's La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. So, I have an arbitrary French question for each of you. It's not at all French. Which of these are bases as opposed to acids?
Oh.
Oh.
Milk.
Greg, number one.
Milk.
Vinegar milk. Or ammonia. Vinegar ammonia or ammonia. Ammonia?
Ammonia.
Yeah, you're correct. Ammonia is a base. Good job. Rex, number two. Borax or lemon juice?
I'm going to say borax.
Borax is
my
correct.
Wife.
Yeah. Now it's time for the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, great.
Here we are. So
okay.
Take me out to the ball.
When you're at the ballpark and the song starts playing, what do you do? Because I feel like there's a correct answer, but it's also just what I do.
I mean, I was just like pop up and I'm ready to do it.
Do you actually stretch? Do you loosen up the shoulders?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I always kind of like do like the stretchy, you know, there's usually people right next door, so you can't like throw your arms around.
I feel like it's a three-part answer. You have to stand up, you have to stretch, and then if you can convince people to stand up, you have to go over shoulders and then start to sway.
Oh, see, that would be nice. Touching people is the thing that we used to do in the old times.
And then it goes into touching me, touching you.
Only in Boston. I think that is the closest I ever get to doing the wave.
You don't do the wave? I used to do the wave all the time.
Yeah, because you were 12.
Well, yeah. And also 28 and 35 and 40 almost.
Nope. Are we going to have to fight about this?
I'm not saying that the wave is the appropriate way to spend a baseball game. But
no, the wave is how you tell your team that you're bored.
Yeah.
When you go to a Blue Rocks game, and you sing the song and it says root, root, root for the blank, two syllables. What are you going to say, Nate?
I mean, I think I'm still just going to say Rockies because why not?
Because that's the question.
Yeah, because I think I can say that and it will still sound like I'm saying Blue Rocks, but just giving them a cute nickname. Oh, they're the Rockies. These are my little Blue Rockies.
As obnoxiously as possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to yell it over everyone else.
Because everybody else is yelling it over you.
Team. Yeah.
Does anybody say home team?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been like times at Coors, people were definitely saying home team, and you're like, what are you doing? Come on, get with it.
We know their name. Well, Blue Rockies sounds like a name of a street name for a drug, and so it sounds like maybe you're asking for somebody to bring a package over to you.
Yeah.
No, they stopped selling those at the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah. Walter White, Winnebago, pulls out at the bottom of the sixth.
Do you remember the, it was some liquor store that sponsored the bottom of the fifth?
That's good. I like
the bottom of the fifth, sponsored by Applejack's Wine and Spirits
and Nickelback.
So Walter White leaves and you go, see ya. And then he's like, don't worry, I'm the one who knocks in the winning run.
Yeah. And then he's like, this is how you remind me of who I really am.
Back to Nickelback.
Look, it's the 90s are back. You're tied at 15 points.
Yes,
gentlemen. And we're going into the final topic.
It's Final Countdown.
Do-do-do-do. Final Countdown, yeah.
But of those 15 points, who's winning?
It's too close to call. I mean, there's been a lot of runners left on base. It's been a lot of wild pitches. You should start an advertising agency called Wild Pitches, Rex.
Okay.
Where the whole goal is you hire me and I just give you the nuttiest fucking idea that you want. You want a website built? I got a wild pitch for you.
Use GeoCities.
Right. Way out of right field.
Yeah, yeah. Use GeoCities. I've been looking at this Angel Fire thing's coming back. Just, you got to hop on board with me.
Look, you need to spend money on social. I'm talking Friendster. I'm talking MySpace.
I'm talking AOL Instant Messenger. The final topic, gentlemen. We've already talked about this a little bit, but let's get deeper. Let's dig into...
Is it going to be Pine Tar?
No. Why would I?
Is it going to be the DH?
It is the DH. It's designated hitters. We're going to talk about that some more. Who has a vague idea about it? Throw some ideas at me. Well, we're going so unconventional.
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, instead of, you know, this topic was supposed to bat in this position, but I'm going to call in a different topic. And that topic...
This topic is not well defended. So since it can't play defense, we're just gonna not let it play.
So that's why I'm gonna bring up the topic.
It's offensive. It's offensive only.
Catchers and pitchers, specifically.
Ooh, the battery.
Use of the new.
The hand trash can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As I like to call it, the NES power glove that they get to wear. And then they can call whatever pitch they want. I think it's a PlayStation remote control on their wrist.
I had the power glove.
Did you have the power glove too?
Did you ever figure out the hand gestures on it? Or did you just
garbage? They didn't work. Like I figured out how to do them. They just didn't do the thing that they were supposed to do. They did half of the thing.
Yeah, but the commercials were great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But so back to the catchers. Rex and I were talking about this earlier, and I think where I stand is I love it, mostly because of how much I hate the trash can Astros.
Can't we hate the trash can? But you're removing your ability to hate the trash can Astros.
You can still hate them. You can't continue to hate them for continuing to cheat because they can't cheat this way. They'll cheat
a new way. Can't. You definitely can continue to hate them for them continuing to cheat.
I lost track of who we're hating for what, but
we're hating the Astros for a bunch of different reasons.
So I saw a picture of these things, and they have, like, I don't know, like 16 buttons on them.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what it's called?
The ass pad.
It's called a PitchCom.
PitchCom.
And it looks like the sole of a hiking boot.
It does.
12 buttons.
Do you know which one's which?
Great question. But an additional question is, they don't have a way to tell you where to place the ball. So it just tells you what pitch to pitch, which...
But it's laid out in a way that very easily could be mapped to, like, up and in, up and out, one of nine places.
Yeah, and apparently they can do something where they have put, like, a little screen on your mitt that says high and inside.
No, no, so, none of this is appropriate.
So
what have we become? How could you possibly argue for this?
The earpiece, the catcher wears it so they can get confirmation of it. The pitcher wears it, and select fielders also wear this earpiece.
No,
to hear what the pitch
hard
is.
No. You know what? I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to get all the points because the answer to Greg's fake question is the same as Nate's fake question, that you can't incorporate this into the game of baseball because it then fundamentally changes the game of baseball downstream. That some minor leagues might play it with the remote control and a DH to maximize specialization. Some colleges, if they have money, high schools, no. 12-year-olds playing Little League, no. That's the ethos and the energy of the game of baseball is that it's a kid's game that we all play. And
wrong.
And in encouraging specialization earlier and earlier, that you only do one thing, you don't have to be a well-rounded athlete, and you don't have to play the entire game, is what breaks the game in the long run. And it's another effort of Major League Baseball to undermine its own long-term value.
There are four things wrong with Rex's statement. Number one, Rex threw out his back earlier this year. So this is further evidence of Rex being 90 years old and stuck in the 1970s baseball. He probably also wants people to punch players in the face and not get kicked out of games like he did to his friend at the last baseball game.
He was doing the wave, Greg.
He was. He did pitch a little bit inside as well. The real answer is baseball is about fun. And what is fun about watching a pitcher stand in the back corner of a
You've been watching box? Way too much American League baseball.
I've watched National League baseball, and it's pathetic attempts at batting. Anybody who bats under 200 shouldn't be allowed to bat.
That's most infielders.
No way. Not most. Under 225, maybe. Under 200? I don't think so. They get that sweet 220 average. And most importantly, baseball is about speeding up the game so I don't have to convince people who don't like baseball to stay for all 9 minutes.
This is the problem that we're trying to solve, and we're solving it poorly. The answer is move the mound back 3 inches or 6 inches and do the pitch clock or whatever you have to do to speed it up.
Wait, time out. So you're okay with fundamentally changing the location?
Absolutely.
Of the mound, but not fundamentally changing putting the best player in the best position to do the best job at the job they're being paid millions of dollars.
I'm not concerned about the current best player to fill that role. I'm concerned about the future best players to fill that role. And by specializing too early, you're going to lose those best players to all of the other sports that are going to reward general athletics.
I would disagree thoroughly. I think you will weed out the players who are average at best at baseball and are only joining that league because it's the highest paid league for athletes. See, baseball players make way more than any other athletes.
For now.
Football and basketball have about $40 million a year to catch up.
No. The competition is soccer. 10 years
international
out,
soccer.
10 years out, the competition is soccer. If you are a 10-year-old right now that you are incredibly athletic and your parents are going, which sport do you want to play, Johnny? You're not going to play football. And you're definitely not going to play hockey. You're going to play soccer. You play the best. You have the most opportunities for playing professionally.
Blowing out your knees. The most opportunities for concussions because of hitting your head against someone else. Versus baseball, where you just kind of chill out at the pitcher's mound. You don't even have to bat anymore, little Johnny. All you have to do is throw a ball like 30 times.
Yeah.
And then
if you throw it 80 times, no more than 80.
And to bring it all the way back. It's soccer because of the antitrust issue, that there is more teams paying professional soccer players than there are teams playing professional baseball players, because we were completely gutting the minor league system. And it's impossible to make a living as a middle tier baseball player if you're not going to make the majors. So it doesn't make sense to enter that pathway anymore. And and Congress has made it illegal to be anything outside of Major League Baseball. You can't start your own league. You can't do something in competition, and there's barely anything internationally. That's the problem.
So I think it's funny that you have a problem with minor league baseball salaries when I'm pretty sure Major League Soccer salaries are less than minor league baseball salaries. So maybe not the strongest part of the
It's probably there. It's probably close.
It's close.
It's close. It's
closer.
Now, what I know they have the antitrust thing, but does that include Major League Blurn's ball?
Blurn's ball?
Yeah.
That was my answer to Hank Aaron. Oh.
Yeah. Hank Aaron the third?
Fourth? I was going to say fourth, I think, the worst Blurn's ball player ever.
He's the worst Blurn's ball player ever. He's in the Hall of Fame as being the worst. but it's literally him there. It's not even a statue.
But it's a great gig.
He stands there. It's great. It's lovely.
Is it? It's Teddy Blurn's ball.
Teddy Blurn's ball. Of the 10 people that are still listening to this episode, that is a very old Futurama reference.
It's a wonderful, it's a wonderful deep reference. Cut. Everybody should know about it. I'm going to give each 3 points because you argued passionately about changes to the game. And I think what's interesting is on one hand, I'm down for most of these tweaks because I think the DH thing this year is fun as an experiment. I don't know
if it's an experiment.
Well, I know it's permanent, but like everything's an experiment. Nobody like Rob Manfred is so not well liked, and the owners know that everybody kind of hates them. So these things feel like this is a toe dip sort of thing. Like, let's see if this gets runs up so much that people are really excited about National League Baseball. On the other hand, like, pitchers always are terrible, and it is like it was a strategy point. I think what would be fun is if you mix it up and you were like, hey, we're going to spin a wheel at the beginning of the game for each team. And one of those innings, the pitcher has to bat. All the rest of them, the DH does. But one of those innings, that pitcher has to bat. So, hey,
no, the opposing manager gets the pitcher has to bat card.
It's like a challenge thing. Yeah. Okay.
They get to save it.
So, yeah. So they're like bottom of the ninth. You've got the bases loaded and two outs. Oh, sorry, DH. Pitcher's batting now. And then Billy Closer comes out and he's like,
No, but then they're going to sit him and let somebody pitch hit for him. So it's a, do I want to let this pitcher continue to play or am I going to let them bat? Which is the classic actual manager strategy from the National League that works so well.
Doing the whittle it down until there's nobody on the bench left. And you're like, okay, cool. We're going to go into extras. You don't have any players left. You're going
to
have to
get to watch kind of baseball as people play positions they're not meant to play.
Yeah.
And we all go, God, this is just bad.
Jose Canseco is gonna give up a home run right now.
But the real issue all goes back to the sports industrial complex really just being terrible for fans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the real issue.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the idea that the owners still are capable of demanding that municipalities pay partially for stadiums and then
cry poor as their franchises continue to increase in billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing with the valuation of the Pirates and like, I'm trying to remember what other team it was actually, but I was reading about how it's the Reds because the Reds GM or whatever was like, be careful what you wish for, fans. If you don't like it, we might just move to another city. And it's like, no, this is bullshit. Like, you guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year in revenue sharing and just pocketing it instead of putting a competitive team out there. And there's no apparatus to do anything about it because there's no apparatus within Major League Baseball to hold the owners accountable outside of the players' rights as employees.
Yeah, and I think this is pervasive in all of our sports leagues of like the incentives aren't aligned. Like, they make as much money, maybe more money if they, whether they win or lose, like,
yeah,
the league that attacked this problem best is basketball.
Yep.
I really thought you were gonna say
there's 120 teams online. They have 4 months of playoffs. You can only play for your hometown team. There's no trading. All of your revenue is generated locally. It's a beautiful game. It is the beautiful game.
They really, yeah. I mean, we need
now the rules of the game could use some tweaking.
Well, that's the best part about the rules of the game is that there are no real defined rules. It's forever being tweaked.
As long as we can play with DHs.
So that means you're going to tie at 18 points.
There's no ties in baseball.
There are.
There's no ties in baseball. No, we need to go to a shootout.
You want a bonus question?
When's the last tie in baseball?
When was the last tie in baseball?
Probably the last season.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Ooh.
When was the last tie in baseball?
I'm going to go with last season.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like there must have been a game where they were like, COVID, tie, let's go home.
Right, the end of a doubleheader, neither team is in contention for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to settle on, and we're going to just live with this. So, make your guess.
Nobody's going to be happy with it.
What year do you think the most recent tie in Major League Baseball occurred?
Was it the San Francisco earthquake game?
It was not. It was not.
Was it a Cubs game where they didn't yet have lights in the stadium and it got too dark and they're like, well, game's over.
I guess, yeah, we're going to get...
But they're going to play it the next day.
Here come the bats. the answer I was going for, which I think technically means Rex is closest,
yes,
was the 2002 All-Star game, which was declared a tie after 11 innings due to lack of pitchers.
Yeah, that's a good answer and also terrible answer.
How's he closest?
Because it gave an answer.
Because the San Francisco earthquake game would have been like in the 80s.
And what was my answer?
Yours was like sometime in history with the Cubs before lighting.
Before lights.
Yeah, which was like look when they put lights in the stadium. I think it was like 2008.
Oh, did they really? Shit. Okay. Oh, man. 1988, they started allowing night games. They had 8 night games at Wrigley Field.
So when was the San Francisco earthquake game? Whichever was closest to the All-Star game gets the point.
The earthquake was in 1989.
Damn, yes. That was a year.
So just 1 year different. Wow.
Turns out that was also Colon's first year in the league.
his first decade. It was his.
It was the 10th anniversary of his first year in the league.
All right. So Rex, you get the tiebreaker point.
Yes. With I won on a technicality.
You have won on a technicality.
I'd like to enter my protest.
Are you playing
this game under protest?
You have a vague idea of playing under protest?
This is the first season the umpires will be addressing the entire podcast audience when they review a play.
Which is another terrible, terrible move.
Well, it's just dumb because the football version of it is dumb, and to put it on baseball without modifying it all is dumber. I agree with that.
The first time that an ump accidentally finishes a sentence with first down.
Oh, man. Rex, congratulations. You won the show.
Hooray.
Do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
The plug is we renamed the flower shop.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
Death
very cool.
to Reverie, mm-hmm. All Hail Asphodel.
Yeah.
Which is actually the URL is All Hail Asphodel.
Which I love because the Asphodel is a Greek god.
It's the first level of hell.
Oh, it's the first level. Great. Even better. Yeah,
even better.
I thought it was a team in out of I can't think of any Austin. The Austin Asphodels.
Aberdeen.
The Aberdeen Asphodels.
So that's the plug.
Great.
Everybody hire us for weddings and events in like 3 years because our books are actually pretty full.
Yeah. Because you guys are good. Greg, you didn't win.
Hey.
But you fought.
No, I did.
You fought hard.
No. Can I make Greg's plug?
Oh.
I would.
can we talk about Greg becoming named partner?
It's not becoming named partner, though. That's misleading. I am becoming, I'm merging my firm with another firm.
Whoa. Named partner.
I was always named as a partner of my firm.
so you're getting twice as firm is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm getting twice as firm.
But he's getting he's been in this office that I'm in for now, you know, like 7 years, but now he's finally getting his name on the door.
Oh baby. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Right. I'm changing my last name to Steno. And so that way my name's on the door.
You're a guy. You're a guy with a name on a door. That's exciting. Do you want to plug anything else?
I would like to unplug and go pass out. It's been a long day.
Okay. Well, thank you. Hey, here's the thing, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
It's really good to catch up, man.
Yeah. Nate, when are you coming home?
Sometime this year. I'm going to come back and visit. I'll pop my head in there.
Do you have a vague idea about that?
Hang out.
Do you have a vague idea about when we can go to a Rockies game?
I have the vaguest idea. Sometime this summer so I can go to a baseball game.
Are you going to go to a Phillies-Rockies game?
I would like to, yeah.
When are they playing? Do you know?
Oh, man, I got to look. I got to look it up because I need to buy a train ticket so I can make it up there easy and then just go wander into whatever the stadium is called that's not the Vet because I keep thinking it's the Vet, but the Vet's been like torn down for 25 years.
Citizens Bank Park?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Guys, thank you. This was so
thank
much
you.
Fun.
Hey, I do want – this isn't really a plug so much as just a recommendation for you two.
Yeah,
mostly for you, Nate, because I'm not sure that Rex is literate, but there's a book called Rethinking Fandom about how sports suck, but how you can still be a fan.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, look at all the problems with the stadiums and the owners and all the inconsistent incentives in all these sports, and but this is how you can still enjoy watching things you love.
Very much in that same vein, and I'm surprised that I didn't already bring it up. Have you been paying attention to the Savannah Bananas at all in the last couple months?
No, not recently. Like last year, they were a big deal. I remember how exciting they were last year.
They're an even bigger deal. They're taking a sort of a Harlem Globetrotters approach to baseball, about making baseball fun and ridiculous. So they field their own team and then their own second team called the Party Animals, which they're like, it's a black jersey and with, they're wearing jeans.
Okay, great.
They're so like as faux denim pants
as you can get.
Yes.
Yeah.
And cut off just sleeveless vest jerseys. They're like, it's black and pink. And it's just incredible. There are all sorts of ridiculous rules. If a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out.
I love that.
Which is just perfect. And it just looks like so much fun. And I really hope that more outfits embrace that take on baseball to grow the game.
We should just do the whole thing. Everything should be like that.
Yeah.
Justice for Bartman, right?
Justice for Bartman. Absolutely.
It was an out. We're just playing Savannah Banana rules.
Is Savannah Bananas, I assume that's Savannah, Georgia?
Yeah,
we
think so. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
They did a banana world tour, and I believe the world tour went all the way from like Mississippi to South Carolina.
So it's a lot of space. I mean, for an individual banana, they don't roll.
For one banana?
You have to keep like flipping it end over end. It's not like it rolls downhill or uphill even. Kind of a tough conveyance.
If you really want to get depressed about sports, look up the highest paid state employee in every state. And I think at 40 out of 50 states, it's either the football coach
or the AD.
Coach.
Yeah.
Or the, some of them, it's the AD. And everywhere else, it's the like dean of the med school.
Oh, man.
So that's where our public dollars are going.
We're doing great. Hey, listeners, if you like this podcast, you can cheer up and you can go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps us out. You can also check out Roll for Blank, Streets of Mage, which is a podcast that is ongoing, but then
can't believe you're still running Rex Streets of Mage.
We're still on. Yeah, you guys were on it. And it lives. It lives.
You let me know when you want to hang out with Misky.
We're going to bring him back. We're going to do a thing. We'll get more Misky going. And then otherwise, guys, I mean, we've all had a vague idea about baseball this week. And that's a good thing because the devil is in the details.
Wait, are you getting paid by some devil company to promote them? Like,
yeah, I am. Yeah, Satan himself is paying me.
No, the runout from that is a vague idea is 80% talent. And the other half is luck.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Go Royals. A bientôt.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.